Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with the new monster thriller Abigail, a major spoiler alert for that one, and then we watched the new Netflix film Rebel Moon Part 2 The Scar Giver, which is a mouthful. And you guessed it, a major spoiler alert for that one as well. Also, a brief warning, we do talk about the results of this latest season of RuPaul's Drag Race in the We're Watching What sections. So if you make it to that section and haven't seen the finale yet and don't want it spoiled, take a pause there and then come back after you've seen it. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? We saw Abigail, or Megan with Fangs, as I have taken to calling. Were you delighted by this film?
You know, what's funny is I'm not going to say I was anti-seeing it. Clearly, I was fine going to see it.
Sure.
But I wasn't, it was not on my list of things. Like, I was mostly looking forward to it coming out so I could stop seeing the trailer.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes.
To be honest. Like,
this is a predicament. Yeah.
Everything. And, you know, and they were pushing hard because the Megan of it all, right? And right. So they were, anyway. So I went into it very just like, whatever. And I have to say, this is a dumb movie, but I had a good time.
It's a very dumb movie.
It's dumb, but it's somehow not. It's dumb, but not terrible.
It's borderline.
It's not good, but I mean terribly made. Like, right? Like,
yes,
it's like,
yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
told. I wasn't bored for a second. It kind of was giving, in a very different way, kind of how I felt about, like, Jennifer's Body, right? Like, I like Jennifer's Body better, but
yeah,
I didn't go to that and think, like, wow, that was amazing. But, like, it's
but
cleverly
it became a
cult
classic.
It did, and it's cleverly written, and it's just fun. And it's just like, you just had a good time.
Yeah.
And this was giving, like, Ready or Not.
Which they are the directors of.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Because
yes.
It felt like Ready or Not. And
yes.
I like Ready or Not, actually.
Everybody had been saying that to me. And I was like, you are all assuming I've seen Ready or Not. And that's an
funny.
Absurd assumption
well,
to
now
make
you have.
If you know me. Yeah.
Now you have. And if you could handle this, you certainly could handle that.
Okay.
But you don't need to see it. But I enjoyed that one when it was out.
Yeah. I was not initially... I didn't see the trailer for a while, and I was like, oh, you know, what movies are coming out, because I usually try and do the biggest ones, and I was like, oh, no, a horror movie, and then I watched the trailer, and I was like, oh, God, I think I have to see this. and I think I was able to gauge, after having seen Megan, I was like, okay. Megan, truly, in its own weird way, is a genre-defining film, right, because now, and partially because they are trying to ride off the success of that, I was like, cool, I have something to map this to. I actually thought Megan was, like, a little bit scarier, just because... I don't know why animatronic things scare me a little more than the idea of vampires. I'm able to, like, write them off more easily, right? Because I'm like, it's garlic and crosses and all that stuff. Although, as we learn from this movie, spoilers, doesn't work. Just sunlight.
Yeah, right. Just the stick to the heart or the sun.
Yeah. Well, I think they still have to go through. Oh, that's true. But it felt like they only got staked to the heart through the hearted by other vampires. As far
that's
as
true.
Tell.
Yeah, it was never a human doing it.
But maybe
it was
like you had to be forceful enough to do it.
Yeah, maybe. Because they just would explode when it would happen, too. It wasn't like
yeah.
It was like,
so this movie was gross. Like, it was,
I loved it. Yeah, foul. And I was going to say, you'll probably hate this comment, but I didn't expect, and I want to be clear, that we're going into major spoiler territory here. I want to be clear, this has nothing to do with the Abigail character, what I'm about to say, but I did not expect, once we get toward all the end, I did not expect this movie to be arousing, but I felt very, like, attracted to a lot of these people by the end of it, honestly. By the time we get, like, so Catherine Newton, I think she's fun, cute, and I like her, but, you know, when she turned into her vampire, she kind of looked just like Miley Cyrus with sharp teeth, honestly. It was very strange for me, but
yes,
I was finding the scene kind of, like, I found it attractive. For everyone who doesn't know, I'm a sicko, and I like the I'm horror.
She
and
becomes
like
a vampire puppet, just to be clear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I thought it was cool. And then when we get to, like, Giancarlo, and I was like, oh, okay. And then Dan Stevens and the whole kind of, like, turning of that. And then I wanted him to turn Melissa because I was like, ooh, hot couple. Like, let's do this, you know. And then major spoiler, but then I don't know if you know this, but Matthew Good is one of my, like, all time male celebrity crushes.
Did not know that, but
forever.
Yeah.
And the surprise of him just showing up, I was like, this movie is trying to do me in.
Right.
Let's do it. But I loved it.
Yeah, I get it. Like, part of the reason I was, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, like bonkers Dan Stevens, one of my favorite modes of Dan Stevens. I suppose I will see this film. I, Catherine Newton in my brain, I know she's a fully grown adult and probably like actually closer to our age, but she's 12. Yeah, so I just, I can't. You know who was a unexpected delight slash, it took me a really long time to realize he was doing a French Canadian accent, was Kevin Durant. And I always have to enunciate his name because I want to say Kevin Durant, the basketball player. And I, in my notes, I just kept calling him Blob. Because of X-Men, I was just like, oh, it's Blob.
It's Blob.
And then I was like, you know, is the character supposed to have maybe like a learning disability or something like that? But I was like, oh no, he's just French Canadian.
He's just French Canadian. You know, it's just how it be. You know?
But the himboness of it, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm playing this well. This is fun. I like this.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
And then I was kind of sad. Obviously, Angus Cloud, RIP. Right. I thought that he was.
I did think he was one of the weaker
performances, which was unfortunate because I wanted it to be, not that this was like anything that you're like, oh, wow, the tour de force. But I was kind of sad for him. I was like, oh, I wish he were like, because he was, I mean, they all were in different ways, but he was really there for the comedic part of it,
mm-hmm.
or the audience standpoint, being like, oh, yeah, this guy. But he didn't really like perform.
Well, I wonder. I doubt it. I don't know when he passed away because I was like, ooh, I wonder if they maybe just couldn't shoot some of it with him. So they had to like
maybe,
figure out how to, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But then like they still kept it pretty morbid. No, I mean, dancing with also, his body and stuff.
Yeah,
and I
was it felt pretty like this was the plan for this all along.
Yeah. And also like maybe, I mean, you know, whatever, but like maybe he could have died off screen and been left off screen. I don't know. Because he did die off screen. But
yeah.
Then we're like dancing around with his dead body and stuff. And I was like, that was like kind of unnecessary. But I guess, you know, they'd filmed what they filmed.
Yeah.
But I do want to shout out, I thought that the girl who played Abigail, I thought she was pretty good.
Yeah, she was fine.
Like, better than she had any need to be in that kind of role. Like in her like moments where she'd be playing a scared girl or then like, you know, faking it and then being like, go back and forth. And she was going like toe to toe with them on the sparring. You know, I know it's the script, but I believed her. And I was like, because, you know, one of my favorites is Interview with the Vampire, and I think that that's to this day, I think, my favorite performance of Kirsten Dunst, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I like Kirsten Dunst, but I just thought as Claudia, I thought she was just like a revelation. Like, and I could be alone in that in a lot of ways, but I love her in that. And this was just kind of like, oh, I love when they, you know, or unlike, you know, you go to like the Interview with the Vampire TV show that was just happening, they aged Claudia up. And I get that also. It's a series, and you're going to have the girl grow up. It's like, we can't keep some younger, but it's, you know, we talk a lot, but it's hard to get kid actors who can carry, I guess.
Yeah.
And she was Matilda in the musical.
I was just going to say this. And also, okay, very interesting, because I was looking up. She has three credits. One of them is this. One of them is Matilda musical. And one of them is a film called Wicked Little Letters, which I very recently watched. And I was like, there's only one kid in this. And did not realize she is Irish. So A plus on the American accent.
I did not even think that.
Because she's very Irish in the film. I watched her and I was like, is that the same
This
girl?
Is like that Jacob Elordi moment, remember? You're like, wait, he's not American?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, who knows then?
Yeah. No, seriously. I was like, okay.
Because if we know, because, you know, there are some actors out there that I think are fantastic. I mean, we've talked about Nicole Kidman on here, but that girl cannot hide her accent.
Cannot hide that accent.
And I forgive her because I really like her performances, but it's like, it's a skill set. You can hide an accent.
Yeah.
Or rather do a different accent. It's crazy.
Yeah. Ironically, Kevin Durand, a Canadian. But the reason I was so surprised by that is because in everything else I've seen him in, I feel like he has a very like Hollywood accent.
Yeah.
I can't remember the Blob accent very well, but like, you know, it just felt like he's
You weren't really looking for conversation.
No, that's true. I was also not. Yeah. I was not paying a ton of attention to.
Be blobby. You know,
but he's in plenty of other things. So I was like, I was just surprised.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't realize she was Irish. So extra points to her. Her name is Alicia Weir. Although my biggest thing about the character, her character, I was just like, some of this is just so messed up. Like, I get that she is a deranged, you know, however many hundreds of years old vampire at this point. But the logic of a lot of it, I was like, ew.
Well, the thing, and getting into that, the thing that, and this is, it's like, okay, whatever. They don't need to care about this, but I'm a huge vampire snob.
Right.
I love me a vampire.
What type of vampire?
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I liked that. But it was like, and on that note, actually, I thought that Catherine Newton delivered most of the comedic, like she did
yes,
some
she
good.
Did
like,
a bit,
she
yeah.
made me laugh several times. And yes. I liked that. But yeah, I felt that, first of all, I'm a fan of just the give me the vampire fangs. If you want to do the all of it, that's totally fine. They're making it crazy. That's fine. But these vampires didn't appear to need to be eating this food. It was like they were just killing, and then all those bodies down there, where they were just, they're all drained from blood, or like, maybe they are drained, but it just felt like she was just killing these people and leaving them there. Like, was just hunting them down for sport, which I get that's what's happening in this movie, but is she going to eat them all later? Or is, you know, so I was like, vampires do this to eat. And then second of all, I hated that they chose on multiple occasions to make it a plot point that they could feel her pulse. Vampires do not have pulses.
Yes. Okay. So because of that, I, from the get-go, was very confused. I was like, oh, maybe the female character, was in on it. Because I was like, what pulse? Like, there's...
I hoped she was. Because
right. But then that's what that I think also threw me a lot of, like, the logic of it. Because, like, then she goes into the room and she's acting all, like, friendly and all this stuff. I was like, okay, if she's, like, the double agent, effectively, right? If she's the agent of the vampire here, then the way she's behaving, like, one of them is a terrible actor.
Yeah.
You know, which, not to knock the actual actors, but totally, the characters are motivated, are terrible. And then it was just like, oh, no, wait, we're, what? Like, we're all? Yeah. I don't, huh?
And it just was one of those things where, like, you didn't need, I know they wanted to be like, is she out? Yeah, she is. But it's like, okay, like, you wouldn't assume at the first time that she was out that she was passed, that she was faking to be passed out. So it's like a thing where, to be asking, I guess they were like, is she okay? Making sure she didn't die, like overdose on it. But it just felt like it was unnecessary. Like, you didn't need to talk about pulses. And at that point, I almost was like, you gave them these weird teeth. We don't even really see them actually eating these people. And you gave them pulses. It's like, why do you have to call them vampires at all? Just make, this is like a new monster. Like, you know, it could just be, it doesn't have to be a vampire.
They needed the trope of.
They wanted the lore and like, and I get all that. But it's just, it was, it's a small nitpick on a thing that doesn't really matter,
because it does. I picked up on the exact same thing, because I was like, why bring this up if this is such a known thing about, like, creatures and
it's just
and,
one of the things
and zombies although not zombies, vampires, because they say vampires in it and nobody
and you're right them. because they do, and then they're talking about the ways to kill a vampire, all these things, and then like, but
well,
why
she
and
oh
they
never
don't have
admits she's a vampire.
No, but they all do.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, like, she never says, haha, I am a vampire, right? And in fact, they disprove most of the parts of it, so, like...
That's true, so maybe, like, it's, who knows? Yeah. But because they're all being, like, having the exact conversation I would have in that situation, which is like, okay, what are the rules? you know, the vampire.
Yeah,
like, why didn't one of them also be like, wait, but she has a pulse? You know, so it's like, you know that that's one of the things. You knew they don't have a reflection, and they don't do sunlight.
Right.
But, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Some of the logic started to fall, but I was like, what if one of my notes is everyone is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but then I sat there, and by like the third act, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not supposed to be questioning anything.
Right. We have to suspend our disbelief.
Just have
in
a good
way.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, and a good time was had. It served the greatest purpose that it could hope to serve in my life. It was just that it was, you know, a fun watch.
I don't think this will achieve Megan level.
I don't think so either. I think that was a fleeting moment, unfortunately, for them. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with like the Barbenheimer of it all, right? Where it was like, this was just a thing that became a social media sensation.
Yeah.
And you can't create that again.
You have to do it organically, right? Like, somebody else has to do it. You can't.
It doesn't mean you can't create it with the intention of doing that. You have to just kind of like, something has to just take off.
Yeah.
And go viral.
I did enjoy, well, not enjoy, but there was one point where I was like, oh, I guess Giancarlo Esposito really has like no part in this. And then as I wrote that note, like the next thing, the door opens and it's, you know, his weird little observation room. I was just like, okay.
And I was like, oh, but keep this man around longer. Like, he's never
honestly,
in anything enough.
I know, but let him collect his paychecks.
Yeah.
Like, he's the most efficient worker in Hollywood. We all know his name.
Is.
We all know. We're all excited when he shows up.
Yeah,
and then he just
right.
moves along to the next
thing.
And he
gets to be there for a day or two or three. And then, you know, like, yeah. But, like, as a selfish viewer, like, I'm like, I want to see more. So,
of
like,
course.
Keep him around, please. But, yeah, good for him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a little long. The logic of it, I got. In fact, I think I said that much in my review. I was like, I must have been thinking of you subconsciously and or consciously as I was doing my review. Because I was like, if you are, like, a hardcore, you know, if you are a classicist when it comes to creature lore. And I also didn't say vampire in my review because I was like, I don't want to spoil it, but it's also in the trailer. So it's like,
You say a ballerina vampire.
I was just, it was fun.
Yeah.
Again,
I recommend
it to
anyone
who's
like,
grossed out by,
I
almost wish like some of the violence had been campier and then I would have
sure.
been able to kind of balance the comedy part that they were inserting.
Yeah, no, I feel that. It's like, that's why I'm a weirdo, because like I'm like at the end there after Dan Stevens like exploded, which, more spoilers, and like Melissa was just covered in
blood. Was like, that was well, because it was excessive, right? That I was like,
all
right.
But that moment of when it cuts back to her and she's covered in like all that blood was when I found like Melissa like the most attractive in the film. I was like, this is giving Rihanna, bitch better have my money. I was like, I was like, yes, please. You know,
I mean, I
love a horror queen, so that's
I found her to be one of the slightly weaker characters.
Yeah, especially because she really was kind of our lead, right? So it was something where I like her, but I
don't know if I'm familiar with her.
She's in the last two Scream movies, which I think that's a lot of the controversy, right? Because she got let go of it for posting opinions about things. But so she's not in Scream 7, but she's Jenna Ortega's sister in Scream 5 and 6. And she ends up being kind of the lead character.
Okay.
And she's also she's in an indie film coming out soon, and then In the Heights. Yeah. Okay. She's not Anthony Ramos's, I can't remember her name in it, but the love interest that's kind of the main female lead. She's not that one, but she's a love interest of
the other one, the friend. Yeah.
And he's a love interest of her. Like, they have an equal part. But it's like, that's Anthony Ramos's like film, you know, right? Obviously.
Right.
But that character. But yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
But I think, the part was kind of, it was written fine, but it didn't have as much
I think it was
as a lot of them did.
It had the least nuance to it, right?
It was just kind of
And so much exposition, like, and she was tasked with it. I'm not blaming her.
Very beginning, just when they're kidnapping the kid, and like she has a heart, she's like, "You didn't say it was me, a kid," and then you see her facial reactions and stuff. The very jump, you're like, "Okay, I'm supposed to root for her because she has a heart, and she must be doing this for reasons that are very, you know, sensey." And so it's like you were told how to feel about her. So
yes.
It leads to not. Whereas by the end of it, I actually liked all of them in their own twisted ways. Like, it's just kind of like, okay. Like, I wasn't like cheering for anyone to die, but I wasn't mourning anyone. Really.
Yeah. I mean, they were like vaguely morally ambiguous at best, if not bad. But they were outranked by worse people. So it's just like.
Yeah. And it's like, but you gotta hand it to movies sometimes. Horror can do this well sometimes, I think, but. When you have a film and you've got an entourage of characters and none of them are particularly people that you would like, and can still entertain you or still keep you captivated, it's a feat, you know?
Yeah.
But I agree with you on length. This is easily an hour 30, hour 40 movie, but it ended up being almost two, so.
Yeah. I would have shaved like 15.
100%.
Yeah. Well, all right. Moving on to movies that I would have shaved, what's the runtime of it? 2 hours and 3 minutes. So I would have shaved 2 hours and 3 minutes of it is Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. I could not with this film.
I'm very sad face about this because, as you know, I'm one of, I think, the three people who really likes the first one.
That's correct. You are one of the three people.
And I say three because I know I have a friend who likes it, and then I have to imagine someone else.
Zack Snyder. He's the third.
That's true. Yeah, there you go.
Because he keeps throwing his own cuts under the bus.
True. Yeah. Like, I'm very, very sad just because. It's not that I thought that this was going to go down in history as like, oh, this is like one of my favorites ever. I didn't think that. And that's, to be clear, that's not how strongly I feel about the first one. I just enjoyed it and I thought it was pretty and I was very intrigued by the world. I came out of this just like, wow, like what, honestly, like what happened? And I know that the rest of you saw this was not a good storytelling, but for me, I was just like, it felt as if the plan had been one like 3-hour film or something.
Uh-huh.
And then they wanted to split it in two. They gave most of the budget to the first one because it looked way better than most of this looked. Like, and I watched it recently and I was like, when watching this on the same television, I was like, what? Like, some of it looked okay. But like the effects, it looked like they were like just not finished in the same way that they were in the first. And I was like, so people's complaints about the first were that you didn't give any backstory or any sort of like get to know these people in any of it. And then you put it all here. After
in the ultimate exposition roulette
I've ever seen, and then all that happened in the whole film was just this one battle that we knew was about to happen at the end of the first one, so it was like there was no story, there was no plot in the whole thing, and I was like, what is this? This is, it's just the epitome of something being stretched beyond what it needed to be.
The only thing I remember vividly, and I had to rewatch parts of this, I rewound because I was like, what? The only thing I remember is that we were like cutting wheat That's all. Jaimin Hansu cutting wheat. That's the only takeaway I have from this.
But at one point I was like, why are we cutting wheat again? Like there were two different montages with slow-mo wheat cutting, like back to back.
Oh, and also weird folksy songs that I think are original.
Yeah, they have to be. And I was just like, what is happening? Like, why are we going back and watching more slow-mo wheat cutting?
Would rather watch wheat grow than watch
than this film ever again. No. The only part that I genuinely liked in this one, and I give the credit 99.8% to Sir Anthony Hopkins, but his conversation with her in that like cave or area or whatever, I really liked that part. But that was it. I'm not saying that saves the film. I know
I'm a sucker for a robot, so like I get
me too. But I was like, I didn't ever know until I will say, after all is said and done, I will be thankful that Rebel Moon at least gave us Anthony Hopkins as a robot, because I didn't know I needed it, and I really like his voice in robot form. Okay. I like his voice always, but I really liked him, and that part I liked. And then I thought I liked when he came out to like fight with them.
Yeah.
But then when it turned all CG, when he jumped up in the ship, I was like, what are you doing? I thought this was going to be like a cool like IG-11 moment. Like, you know, I just thought, or K2SO, like, you know, because it's clearly referencing things like that. But it just couldn't deliver. Yeah, it was rough times.
Rough is so generous. This was torturous for me to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I was struggling hardcore. And I liked the first one, so I can't imagine what you all were through.
Right.
You know, like.
I can't. And then like for him to throw his own stuff under the bus. And we talked about this with Civil War, where it's like his fans are fans I'm afraid to piss off.
Yeah.
And it's very unhealthy. You know, it's not that I'm afraid to like critique his work, but there's just like a blind faith. But then he himself will say like, well, this isn't what I wanted to make. Then I'm like, then why didn't you make it? It feels 100%. Very much like he got carte blanche on this, right? Like, Netflix was like, you can make two absurd, incoherent films, and we will give you a budget, and we'll get you all these stars.
To start. Because it's a shared, I mean, I've been reading comics about the Blood Axe family that I'm probably going to start reading now. But there's comics, there were going to be books and stuff. So I don't know what's coming. But this was like a thing they were building out. So like, I have to imagine if it performed well, they would be continuing more stories in this universe. So it's like, don't pass the buck and be like, you know, and
you got to do what you wanted to do. So like, do not pretend.
It's constantly passing it. And honestly, I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I've had a weird relationship with Zack Snyder through the years. And I find the weird fanaticism that has come in more recent years. Mm-hmm. I find it so strange because I'm like, what, where did you all come from? Because I think everyone unanimously, for the most part, people enjoyed 300 and it felt
absolutely
fresh and different.
I
and it was like,
thought
wow.
It was spectacular.
Yeah, and I think
was
most
like
people will tell you,
100%,
because you hadn't seen something like that before. It just felt very like,
I wanted abs so badly.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I got him for it. No, I'm just kidding. and then I think everyone kind of who likes the zombie thing can say like, yeah, his Dawn of the Dead is really, it's good. Like as far as zombie movie remakes go.
I did not see it because it looks scary.
I'm not a big zombie guy, but of the zombie remakes, the George A. Romero especially, it is good. You know? And then I obviously worship at the altar of Watchmen, and I understand the criticisms of it, but I worship at the altar. I think it's fantastic. I loved Legends of Ga'Hoole.
Just going to say, you know what? Ga'Hoole. He can have Ga'Hoole.
And I loved that. And then the first one he kind of missed for me was Sucker Punch, but I still liked the idea. And I was like, okay, I like where your head was, but I think this could have been a good movie, and it wasn't. But anyway, I say all that just to say, once he got into like full DC mode and stuff, like I really fell off the train. And I was just kind of like, I don't love this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where the switch kind of happened, where people were, you know, pooing on all those movies until the tragedy struck. And child death and all.
Of course,
it's very sad.
Horrible.
And then people didn't like Joss Whedon's version of.
Also a terrible, but Joss Whedon, a terrible man. So
yeah, Justice League, whatever, but like, you know, whatever. So
yeah.
And then this whole, it was the Snyder Cut. That was the whole thing, right? And all of a sudden people just amassed this army, restore the Snyderverse. I was like, but I thought you hated it.
It's like, good. Do you not remember when
you
hated all
Batman
of them?
Superman?
Yeah.
And you said the only good thing about it was when
Wonder
Diana
Woman
showed up.
Yeah.
Like it was like, did you watch that movie? Because I did. I remember, you know.
Yeah.
So it's very alarming and confusing.
They're retconning their own history, is what
100%. But in doing that, they've become very volatile and defensive over.
Right.
So that's to your point. That was the longest winded way of saying, like, I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it's like this fan base is sometimes crazy.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, it's scary. And like, you know, I didn't end up reviewing it because for a variety of reasons. When I didn't get to watch it in time, too, I was like, I don't want to add to this. I don't need to add to this. It has 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't have anything to say. Like I said, I did want to discuss it because I was like, this is ridiculous. And I can't believe, again, we watched Jaimin Hansu. I feel like they had like three. Well, I'm going to assume they had no sets for this and then like only green screens. And maybe they built like the hall, you know, where the weird townspeople with this accent. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
get it. They probably built some of those things they were in.
Right. And then they were like the princess is still alive. I thought they were going to be like, and it's the blonde girl in the village. Nope. It's oh my God.
But then even the flashback of learning how like the main girl, Cora, I think it's Cora.
Yeah.
How she killed
the princess.
It's like, I sat there and I turned to my friend and I was like, wait, but why? I still didn't really get why she did it. And I was like, wait, and this is who we're supposed to root for?
Yeah.
And then they just spent the rest of the movie trying to make sure you knew that the like baddies were way worse than her.
Right, like, okay. Right. It's the same as what's it? It's Abigail, right? Where it's like, no, they're like questionable, but these people are worse. Yeah.
Where they were going to go like attack or bomb. And then the guy's like, there are women and children there. And he's like, good. And it was oh, you're bad.
That's screen. What, you want us to know. What are you doing, dude?
Like, so with all the stuff, like I felt like also like on the planet, like all the exposition and all that, I was like, oh, they're really trying to like show us the culture of this place. And I was like, he's doing a lot of telling and not just showing and letting it. Like, you know, you watch something like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars that's well done, or you watch things like that where you learn about the planet or the realm or wherever you are just by observing what's going on while we're watching a story take place, not by them sitting there and talking to us about it and telling us what
I don't want to know about your harvest of wheat economy.
No, I knew but I knew that because they established in the first one that it was like they come here for wheat and that's what you do and that's how you serve them, so I didn't need to see the montage. Is two of them, you know,
not for me.
Yeah, not for me. I'd be curious to know, and again, saying this as someone who liked the first one, I'm curious to know who this was for. Like, if anyone really watched this and was like,
that's a good question.
Because it just objectively was just not well made, and unfortunately, it just felt really, really sad. Sad for me. We rebuild. We move on.
This is a future plug, but did you ever listen to the Hollywood Con Queen podcast?
No.
Okay. So. Well, Apple is making a documentary about it that comes out in like a few weeks, and the Snyders are involved, and it is fascinating. So, this is a little breadcrumb to look out for. There's an actual plot for you. It's a documentary
too. There it is. We found it.
Yeah. Yes, but this is a hard no. Recommend. This is no.
Yeah,
this is a no. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I even texted my sister, and I didn't tell her to watch it, but I asked if she had because.
Yeah.
She didn't like the first one much, but she didn't hate it. She just was like, yeah, whatever. And I was like, I highly recommend you don't.
Well, for the fact that we also cliffhangered the end and were like, my fear, I immediately looked up. I was like, oh, God, no. Is there a part three already in the can? Like, please, no.
Honestly, because if there is at this point, like, I won't be watching.
I have to wonder if some of this is just a viewership play, right? Like, it costs X amount. Obviously, it's expensive. But, you know, these folks are willing to work with him. And you don't care what the ratings are. Like, you know, it's... Let's see. Is it number one movie on... Watch it be dethroned. That'd be so good.
It might be.
Let's see. The number one movie in the U.S. today is Rebel Moon. And, you know, they only stay there for, like, a couple days. Or, you know, a couple weeks of that. But...
Well, they release so many.
Maybe it's just not a concern. Who knows? God forbid.
yeah
all right, well, moving on, we're watching what else did you watch this week? Hopefully better things than that.
I watched What Jennifer Did.
Oh, is that good?
I think that was that Netflix?
It's Netflix.
Yeah, I didn't, it's not bad, but I don't know if you ever watched it, you have to let me know what you thought. It felt kind of like I was entertained by the whole thing while watching, but I also felt that everything we learned was so painfully obvious that I was like, why did you make it? This was just a log line. Like, you know what I mean? Unless, you know, I don't know. There were some things that were revealed, I guess, that I couldn't have known going in, but it didn't feel like I was surprised by the outcome in any way.
It came up in my, like, suggested, and I don't think I even clicked on it, but something about the positioning of it, thumbnail, whatever, it gave me the heebie-jeebies. And yeah, not in like a, ooh, this looks like it's a good story. I was like, something feels off about the telling of this in a way that I don't like. And then I also, I know apparently they like used maybe AI, or they like manipulated some photos to like,
did they really?
Like give us a picture of what she looks like before, like her life before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's interesting you say that, because there were a couple photos they showed and I was like, that does not even look like her. And I said that out loud.
It might be like a creative recreation or whatever you want to call it.
Interesting. Because, I don't know. And it was fine, but it's like, it was all by the, I don't know if it was the creators or producers, director, by the, who did, you know, An American Nightmare, which we all agreed was like fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, not the same.
No. Okay.
And then on Hulu, I watched Sins of the Parents, the Crumbly Trials, which is, of course, depressing, but have you heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
That's the one with the parents who got charged for second degree murder from their son who did a mass shooting in 2021. God. But like, it was a historic trial, a case, because it was the first time like parents were held accountable
for
like negligence. And so it's a landmark case. It was well done, though. It's interesting. It doesn't glorify. It starts out giving you, I mean, you have to learn about them and what's going on, but then it really quickly goes into like, here's how awful these people are.
Yeah.
Not like.
Not glorifying. Yeah.
And then, I felt like the only other thing that comes to mind, I feel like we should shout out. I don't know, did you finish Drag Race?
Yes. And I made the cardinal mistake of a weekend. I did not watch before going on social media. And I actually made it like far into Saturday before coming across the spoiler. And I was like, interesting. Delighted for her.
Yeah.
I
was shocked because I thought it was going to be Saphira.
I thought so too.
But when you watch that finale, I mean, Nymphia showed up and then she was, I mean, and I was like, God, my biggest sadness now about the season is that Plain Jane saved her during Snatch Game for the chance that maybe she would be bottom two. So we could have seen her lip sync because she's
incredible.
That
was my thing. I was like, wow, I don't, you know, and I do not want to diminish the win at all. But sometimes I wonder, like, is this a diversity play, which is to my people's benefit? Right. I'm like, oh, my God, I come from a Taiwanese family. Holy crap.
Sure, but
and I would love to have another East Asian winner. But I was just like, given how the season was cut together, Saphira was just such a front runner. I thought Nymphia was amazing and creative and brilliant. But like the way they were positioning Saphira was just, she was almost unbeatable.
Yeah.
But then seeing that, you know, lip sync, I was like, oh.
Well, and
if we just judged on this episode, and not to 100%. Say we didn't, but
if you were, because they're not, I think the whole thing is Rue's supposed to be judging from everything, right? But if you were just going on this episode, it's like, Nymphia is the clear runaway of it. But because I agreed, I thought like Saphira was just the one who, the whole time she called herself the godmother or whatever, or you know, that kind of thing. But it was like, as what Rue tries to say, like this, like win means, and it's like, oh, you're, you know, the spokesperson for the year and all these things for this whole movement and all that. Saphira, of everyone on the show, had that like full package, full rounded.
Yeah.
I am confident, know exactly who I am and will like deliver this message. And so it just felt like it was going to be her, but I thought it was really exciting that it wasn't in that way. And also I have to say, nitpicky, but like, unless she's using it for comedy, or it's covered up, I don't like the way Saphira's breastplate works.
And
had on the finale where it's like the shoulder. I was like, girl, this is the finale.
Yeah.
And Nymphia looked like
stunning.
She just like was born like looking exactly like all this makeup was just there, because it didn't even look like makeup. It just looked like it was like, and it was impeccable. So I was like, honestly, I'm feeling the deservedness of this. So.
Oh, absolutely. It is not to say she did not deserve it.
Oh, yeah. But just me.
Having seen the news without having seen the lip sync. And normally I'm not the biggest on the lip syncs and whatever, because I'm like,
okay, me neither.
Like,
I get bored.
Predetermined, but like predetermined stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, okay then.
Well, that's why I actually liked this finale a lot, because I was like, I love that we just got the one lip sync. We didn't have to. I like
the performances. We didn't have to do the roulette and all the.
I thought honoring of like Cassandra, you know, Elvira was kind of cool. And I was like, oh, this is cool if you do this every year and like shout out like a drag icon or something. Like, I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
I also laughed because the second that Sasha Colby came out and did her performance, and then especially when you see her in her drag at the end, I was like, should we just recrown Sasha?
Yeah.
Like, she kind of just came and outperformed everybody. And then it's like, by the way, I'm still her.
Right.
And it was that thing, what she was wearing at the end there was like jaw dropping. So I was like, no one can compete with this.
No, it was definitely a good finale. And yeah, I usually dread the finale, but it was my bad. I did the thing you're not supposed to do.
I'm sad for you. But.
Yeah. But again, to the internet's credit, it waited a very long time. It made it till like late Saturday when I was like, no.
It was a you problem, but still. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Well, a good show. And now, you know, we had a good group of queens this year, personalities and stuff. And it's like, I feel Rue's probably just like, great. This is perfect for all stars.
I don't know. I found a lot of the folks of this season forgettable.
Yeah, I think it's just the ones that stood out.
Yeah.
Stood out a lot to me. But then,
some of them kind of faded. Maybe controversial. I think Q deserved to be there over Plain Jane.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But I was, I was ready for Q from that first episode. I thought Q was like similar to Nymphia, kind of just like delivering every single week. And sometimes Plain was good, but like I thought we were talking a top three.
I found Plain a little bit plain. Like I did not find anything about their drag.
Yeah. To her credit, that's what she is, but it's like that's not the groundbreaking, remarkable thing that we need to see. And even Q at the finale, that look, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like she knew that she was like, this is what I would have worn.
It's like I already had it made.
Yeah, exactly. Like she made it herself too, which is like, you know. So you know we'll see people like Safira, Q, and Plain and stuff like on All Stars and different stuff. So it's a fun season.
What else? I watched Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which was okay. It wasn't, you know, I'm not big on, I sound like a broke record, but like New Guy Ritchie is just not my favorite thing. But because this is based on a true story, it's basically the characters that like James Bond is apparently based on. Like Ian Fleming is a character within the story. I guess a bunch of like Churchill's documents got unredacted or declassified or whatever. And so this is like some of the stuff it's based on. So I think he had to be a bit more... not tame, but just like it. This is a weird thing to me. It didn't feel like a Guy Ritchie film, which maybe I just wasn't watching closely enough. And because some of the reviews are like, Guy Ritchie at his best. I'm like, no, this doesn't feel like a Guy Ritchie film because he has these constraints on him. And then to that point, I was like, well, then why'd you get Guy Ritchie? Like, if you know, it felt like somebody, a good film student who was a student of Guy Ritchie could have theoretically made something close to and it would have been fine. You wouldn't have to pay his fee. So I was just like, okay.
Right.
All right. Again, a lot of exposition and backstories in that one. And also, it felt like Aza Gonzalez either wouldn't film with or had a very different shoot schedule than like the entire cast. Because she and one other person have their own subplot, but it's just like they don't meet up until there's like one day where they must have made them all go to set. I don't know. It was strange, but it was not for me. But it wasn't the worst. But it was, you know, I was just like, I feel like I've seen this before.
Or you get the one fight scenes where it's like.
There's just a lot of violence too
on that bridge where it's like there are two people fighting and then there are two fighting kind of behind them and then two over here fighting and you can tell they're all filmed separately.
Yeah.
Because they're not together and it's like
that's very much it. And the other thing, similar to like the other two movies we were talking about, and I talked about this in my review, I was like, oh, the reason we will always, maybe not always, but we tend to be stuck in World War II as a setting is because there's an ultimate bad guy and you can be as violent and bloody and horrible as you want to them. And it doesn't matter because they're Nazis and like nothing you can do to them is worse than what they did to an entire people, which, you know, as somebody who the other half is those people, I'm like, But I'm like, I'm tired. I'm tired of this.
Yeah. It does get a little bit old. It's like, you know, there's always, it's like the classic, even the inclusion of it into comic books when Captain America famously punches Hitler in the face. It's like, that kind of thing where that was like bringing real life stuff into a medium of entertainment that was like, we can forever celebrate bad things with this guy.
Right.
You know, because it's, and so, yeah, it gives you that permission.
It's carte blanche. That, you can do whatever you want to. And I was just like,
And it's not a nuanced issue, right? Like it's not a nuanced war at that point. Cause you're just like, there was a definite dictator who needed to be stopped.
Right.
You know?
And it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, you hope that, like, we don't hit the point where there becomes a new regime that is that. And, you know, to, I guess, supposedly looking at history, like, the Cold War Russia is close. It's not there yet, but, but I'm just like, I don't want this anymore.
Like, please.
Go to the aliens. Please just pick aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so tired of this era.
And then when you go back to, like, World War I, people are like, wait, what was this about again?
Yeah, and then you're like, don't worry, we're setting up.
Always was, aliens, please.
Oh, yeah, just aliens are fine.
Yeah.
What else did I watch? I watched Spiderwick Chronicles.
Oh, which forgot about that.
It's free on Roku app, player, etc. It got rescued from Disney. because I think they like made the whole series and then they're like, no, it's fine. I hadn't seen the movie version of it and I hadn't read the books. So going into it, I was just like, this is fun.
It's but you watched the whole thing.
I watched the whole thing. Yeah, admittedly, I did like the junket for it. So I had, you know, and it, but, oh, but okay. I wasn't like dreading watching the whole thing, you know.
But having watched it.
Yeah.
You would have been like, oh, God, if you hated it.
Right. So. They gave me the pilot and I was just like, I enjoy this. So I asked for the rest of it because I was yeah, Christian Slater's in it. You know, I'm not, it's not like a hard recommend, but I was like, yeah, I could see YA, like audiences getting into
harmless,
this.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't watched it yet, but I am going to, once we sign off, I'm going to watch The Jinx, the next part of The Jinx, because part two start coming out. And I will be excited for that. But yeah, that is it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Matt. And that has been it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.